Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember someone is a very, very precious and priceless exercise. It means that you have fellowship with that person. The more you fellowship, the more you have to remember. If you recall certain events that was never real, that never actually happened, that is not the definition of remembrance. That is falsification. You lied. To describe an event in the past that never occurred, or to talk about someone that you have never met, as if you have met that person, that's deception. And that is why remembrance depends a lot on what you do in the past and in the present. If you want to remember people in the present or in the future, you have to share your life with them in the present. Otherwise, you will have nothing or very little to remember that person by. Eulogies are good words spoken by loved ones. Loved ones of the person who has been called home to glory. And basically they are memories. They are recalling what they have experienced in the past. And because it is a eulogy, good words, all those painful and sad memories are usually not mentioned, even though they are present in our mind, in our past. Because it's a eulogy. And so you try to recall as much or as many good experiences as possible with the loved one. And it was very sad to hear of a eulogy, for example, of a child who was in her 60s. To recall memories of mom who has just been called home to glory. That the good memory that she could have was when she was 16 years old, not when she was closer to 60s, to her 60s. How they were together in the kitchen, how they fellowship when they baked together, and that was it. Did she not have any good memories of mom that was closer to her age of 60s? Did they not have any good times together when she was in her 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s? That she would have to go all the way back to when she was 16 years old. When her life was in her 60s, she spent so many years on earth. Does that mean that very, very few of these 4 to 5 decades have been spent with mom? So much so that they lived separate lives, that they did not cross paths and share lives, moments together that were good, that she could recall and share with friends and family members who were gathered to comfort her, to weep with her. That is why memories are very important, because it's a reflection of your life. How you live or fail to live with the people that God has brought into your life. And we know that the people who are supposed to be closest to us are family members. And when we do not have memories that are good with them, and maybe the daughter filled her memories with a lot of friends, busy at work, and so her memories are primarily with colleagues, with people that she worked with or she went out with, but hardly any time with mom. And of course, they did not go to church together. Maybe that's one of the reasons. And they were not, or she was not close to the Lord at all. She doesn't go to church, even though she was brought up in church. Maybe that was a second reason. Very few shared lives. The mom was involved in the church. The mom was in church every Sunday. She was absent for many, many decades. went overseas for studies, came back a different person. Far away from God, very, very close to the things of the world. Spent the better part of her life in the pursuit of materialism. And maybe that's the reason why there was very few good memories that they could share. Because she was spiritual, the mother, I meant. She was not. What about you? What do you want your children to remember you for, if the Lord tarries and the Lord has taken you home? Some of you may know our Professor Tan Yok Lin. The afternoon when our plane landed in Sydney, I received a text that there was an accident and the Lord had taken him home. I was stunned because just a few days earlier on Sunday, we had our anniversary and I shook his hand. Very healthy, very much alive, and she was with us. He was with us at the church camp. 2 days after I returned from Sydney, news came to me that another church member also called home to God, preparing to send his son, who came back from America to be reaffirmed, and with his fiance to be baptized, also shook his hand on the same Lord's Day after the service, baptized the daughter of the future daughter-in-law, the son's fiance, and the son's reaffirmation. And then the Lord took him home because of a heart attack. And he just received a good report from the doctor in his annual medical checkup on medication for high blood pressure and cholesterol. That's it. Preparing to change and to send the son to the airport, the Lord took him home. Friday was the burial. And the same day, news came to us about our sister Carol's sister, whom I baptized in 2021. And then on Saturday, yesterday, one of our church members from the Mandarin congregation was called home to glory. Elder Chu Chong Kiat's father-in-law, the wife, Julie's, and our brother Artu's father-in-law as well, because his wife Lillian and sister Julie, they were sisters. He was a member of our congregation, a series of homegoing. And then now you are forced to recall all the memories. When you and I do not share lives, and you share your life with strangers who are more dearer to you than your loved ones, than your brothers and sisters in Christ, because you are so much in the world. You don't come for any of the Bible studies. You don't come for any of the fellowships that are found in your church weekly. And then you come to church, you worship, bye, and that's it. And then when people remember you, they scratch their head. Oh, this person has been worshipping with us since the founding of Truth BP Church. Oh, I didn't even know that this person existed. Because there was no sharing of lives. And so the only time that they remember you would be when they attend your vigil service. And probably, oh yeah, yeah, I met him. But I did not speak a word with him. How to remember one another? A lot depends on you. You stay away, you don't share life. How to remember one another? You spend most of your time in the computer. Do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? A lot depends on how you live today. And so the Apostle Paul shared with us in this prison epistle, he was in Rome now under house arrest, and the problem had arisen that he had to deal with. You can see that in chapter 1, in the subsequent verses. But there were those who were very, very, maybe delighted that now it is our turn to be well known, because now the famous Apostle Paul is in prison. He had preached the gospel and he founded so many churches and he is so well known. Now that he is in prison, it's our time, it's our turn. And so Paul had to deal with this. preaching of the gospel in order to stir up some jealousy or envy in the heart of the Apostle Paul. But before he did that, before he corrected their false and sinful motive, he talked about how he remembered them when he first arrived in the city of Philippi at the beginning of the second missionary journey after he crossed the Aegean Sea from present-day Turkey. The Bible describes it as Asia Minor. How he remembered while he was in prison what the church was like, a church that loved him dearly. And then to find there were these people who tried to stir up envy and jealousy because of the gospel, because of the ministry, it troubled his heart, saddened him too. And so he began by telling them, "You may remember me with this kind of competitive spirit, but that's not how I remember you. But in order for us to learn from him, we have to look at verse 1 and verse 2, because how to remember one another begins with how we remember ourselves." Do you remember yourself? What does that mean? Well, the Apostle Paul says, "Paul and Timotheus, servants, slaves of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons," or the elders were there, and the deacons as well. And so this was how he remembered himself. How do you remember yourself? Because it all depends on how you remember yourself. That will impact how you relate to others. And how you relate to others will be the memories that you're going to build. So he said, "Servants of Jesus Christ," plain and simple. A very simple remembrance of himself. Now, for a man who had been used so mightily by God, we know that Paul was at the tail end of his ministry. This would be about 60, 62 AD. 64 AD, Nero will burn Rome and blame it on the Christians, and it is said that Paul would be called home to glory around 66 AD. So very soon his life would be over. In other words, by this time Paul had already accomplished much. As mentioned earlier, as these people will also testify, he became very well known. You and I know how difficult it is to found churches. But God used a man using all the old-fashioned modes of transportation to found so many churches, and so he really became very famous. He did not aim for that, but that became the byproduct of his faithfulness in ministry. The Lord used him mightily to save souls. So he could have a lot to think about himself, how he could boast about how great an apostle he was. But none of these things mattered. All he wanted to remember himself at this stage of his life, languishing in prison, having accomplished so much for the Lord, "I'm just nobody but simply a slave of Jesus Christ." How you remember yourself first is crucial, because that's how you're going to project yourself to others, right? You think you're a CEO, you come to church with a head held high because you have been a big boss out there, and so you think that you can carry over this big boss mentality into the church. Because financially speaking, you have all the money in the world. You don't need anyone, and you think that the church needs you more than you need the church. You think that Christ needs you more than you need Christ. Because of your generous tithe and offering, now the church is financially very sound and stable, and you think that it's all because of you. And so you walk in Sunday after Sunday very full of your own accomplishments, in inverted commas, of course. And then that's how you relate to people. You talk down because you think that you are high and mighty. That's how you remember yourself in relation to whom? To Christ. Not to one another. Not yet. To Christ first. That's key. Why did he say slave, not apostle? He could have. He is, or he was. But just simply servants, together with Timothy, his spiritual son. While he was in prison, Timothy was there with him. servants. That's it. Everything else, not important. Just simply a slave. A slave, you know, is someone who has no rights, who owns nothing, who will do whatever the masters command. At the end of it, if the masters were not to say thank you very much, it's okay, because that's a slave. A slave life expects nothing good in return, but he will give everything the best that he knows how. Under all circumstances, he will just simply do the master's will. Under the hottest of sun, he will work because the master said, you go. He will go happily. Work from dawn to dusk, he will go. After that, you come back and you prepare lunch. You stand there by the corner while we eat as a family. He will stand there, he will prepare the best lunch and will stand there. And whatever that is left behind, he will consume. And whatever there is nothing left, he fasts. No murmur, no complaint. Dinner time comes, he will do the same. Finish the best dinner he could prepare, stand a corner, he will stand. Work as hard as he possibly could, never be permitted to call him Abba Father. It's okay too. I'm just a servant, a slave, a nobody. Pharisee of Pharisees he was before salvation. Took pride in the fact that he knew his pedigree. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the 8th day. He took pride in all these things. None of the centurion had to pay money to buy his citizenship. I was also a Roman citizen. He took pride in all those things. But the moment he was born again, having served the Lord all his life since the day he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, at the end of his life of great service, he could only say, I'm just a servant, a slave of Jesus Christ. And to all of you saints, the leaders in the church, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to greet you in the name of our Savior, wishing you God's grace and God's peace. No mercy yet. You notice that? Grace, mercy, and peace found in only a handful of these epistles, and they all address individuals. Timothy and Titus. Grace, mercy, and peace because they were not in sin. He wrote those epistles to encourage. But this is an epistle where there will be problems. If you do not repent, no mercy. Judgment awaits. But if you repent, mercy. Right now is mercy because the judgment has been withheld, giving you time to know the truth. And all of you who preach the gospel with a wrong motive, if you do not repent, mercy will end. Admonishment, rebuke, judgment will follow suit. So grace and peace. Because Jesus is the common bond. And all he cared about was to magnify Christ. He is my master, and in his name, we wish you the best, grace and peace. Now remember, the context is these people, some of them, not all, some of them tried to stir up envy and jealousy in him. But this is his introduction. He spent more time and care in writing this introduction in contrast to the book of Galatians, which we just completed by the grace of God, where there was urgency, where he dispensed with all these formality in his introduction and went straight into the problem and cursed anyone who preached another gospel. Remember? But this time, the issue was serious, but not as critical. It's about wrong motive and trying to stir up jealousy and envy in ministry. Not another gospel that can condemn. And so he spent time. But in this greeting, he shared with us the importance of how to remember one another, which he shared with us here. But he began with how he remember himself. And you must do so. Because once you do that, humility will come in. And all the praises of men, all the accolades of men, and all your so-called accomplishments will immediately be set aside. So that when you approach one another, when you have fellowship with one another, when you serve together, that's how you build memories. You do so as a slave of Jesus Christ, expecting and demanding no rights. And when you are hurt,
it's okay, because a slave will always get hurt, because you are here to serve the Lord. You're in this ministry to serve the Lord. You're in that ministry to serve the Lord. And in the case of serving the Lord, you serve one another. And therefore, you don't quit. You don't resign at the slightest problem, because it is the Lord who called you. It's the Lord whom you are serving. And therefore, you will reconcile and you will fix whatever difficulty or differences that you might have, because you are a slave. The problem with us is we forget this. The problem with us is that we think that we are deacons, pastors, elders, reverends, chairmen, our problem. And because of this title, we think that we deserve certain respect. We think that we deserve to be honored. And when they do not come, we get upset, we get angry. We want recognition. We want people to pat us on the back. We want people to say nice things about us. You give so much of your time, and people forget you, people ignore you, and you get bitter and you get angry. All simmering underneath. But the moment you remember yourself first, I'm just a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day is precious, serving my Master in heaven. How people treat you, how people do not treat you, it doesn't matter. I am just a nobody. Everyone gets invited to the wedding and I'm not invited. It's okay. It's okay. I'm just a slave. Wow, all these people invited, you don't invite me. You see the problem? Why? What's so great about you? You see the problem? But the moment you see and understand yourself, which is true, we are just servants. This is not make-believe. A person who is truly born again, this is exactly who you are and what you are. This is not just simply some positive thinking or some self-engineered kind of a emotional, theoretical conjecture. He was basically explaining and expressing a reality in his life. Sure, Jesus called us by so many different names. Holy priesthood, royal priesthood, sons and daughters of the Most High God, and so on. Yeah, you're right. All these are correct. But when it comes to remembrance of one another through relationship and fellowship, this to Paul was the best. Because we know that when we relate to one another, there will be stepping of toes. There will be careless words, there will be painful words, there will be all kinds of painful misunderstanding and hurts that you're going to encounter. And if you do not see yourself first as a slave of Jesus Christ, you will not be humbled enough to do whatever it takes to reconcile. Do you know that? Husband-wife relationship is the same. Usually the problem is pride and arrogance. The moment you see yourself as a slave of Jesus Christ, pride and arrogance evaporates. The moment you don't, pride and arrogance return. That's why you want to learn how to remember one another. First, how do you remember yourself in Christ? Before salvation and after salvation. So that when you relate to one another, you begin by wishing them grace, that is God's blessing, and peace. Whatever it takes. Swallow my pride to have peace with you? Yes. You want me to say sorry first? I will say sorry first. Because peace to me with you is important. And as a slave of Jesus Christ, you do it. How many times when you counsel husband and wife, why must I always be the first one to say sorry? You see the problem? Because he doesn't see himself as a slave of Jesus. He sees himself as the big boss. I'm somebody, you know. Why must I always have to say sorry to my wife first, or my brother first, my sister first, my friend? You see the problem? But the moment you are just a slave to Jesus, not a problem. And so once you see yourself first in this light, then how do you remember? You remember one another before God. Verse 3 and verse 4. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. How? When? Where? In every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Prayer. Prayer. You know how wonderful it is. You can't pray for a stranger, okay?
You can't pray for someone intimately when you do not know the person. It's going to be very perfunctory. It's not personal. But once you share your life with that person, at the moment you pray for that person, no matter how that person may have hurt you, like these people who try to stir jealousy and envy in his heart, he prayed for them. Of course, he will correct them, but he prayed for them. He will pray perhaps for the Lord to soften their heart so that they will begin to share the gospel with the right motive, to stop sharing the gospel as a competition with the Apostle Paul in order for them to be famous and well known. These are all sinful motives. I'm sure the Apostle Paul will pray for them in that sense, that they will not share the gospel according to Scripture with a wrongful, self-aggrandizing heart, so that they can be well known and as famous as Paul. Sinful. You pray for that. That's how you remember. And you cannot do that without sharing your life. You have all these ministries here. Tuesday, you have the YAF cottage meeting and Bible study. How many of you plan to go? You go, you now have memories. You do not go, this particular meeting, this coming Tuesday, you have no memories at all because you are absent. Oh, you have other memories, other things that you do. But this is not important enough for you in your priority to attend. And so, if anything happens here, and people ask, please pray. How do you pray? You got no memories. There is no personal involvement. None. Investment. Your time. Your sacrifice. Or Wednesday, you have your prayer worship. Or Thursday, your Team Barnabas. Or Saturday, the children's fellowship and church Bible quiz. You don't participate, when people talk about it, you have nothing. So how to bring all these to God in prayer when you are not even interested? How do you pray sincerely, genuinely, when you are not even interested in participating, in sharing your life in these ministries? Basically, it's sharing your life with people, you know that, right? Your church family, your brothers and sisters in Christ. When you go visitation, all these are part and parcel of remembering. Because you have done it, you have much to remember. That's what Paul shared. I thank my God. And when you are remembering with a thankful spirit, you and I know that our lives are not perfect, and our relationship with one another are always a mixture of joy and pain. Do not magnify the pain and the hurt in your relationship, but magnify the good times, the blessed moments. Because when you thank God upon every remembrance, you don't thank God for the hurt and the pain, right? You thank God for the good times. That means all the painful moments, unless it is washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not remember them with a clear, happy, sincere conscience. Because the moment you remember an unforgiving spirit, how do you thank God? You can't. Because you know you are in sin. Because when you look at the person, remember the person, well, the person talked behind my back, the person sabotaged me because of what the person did, I lost my job. You're filled with anger and bitterness. You can't thank God sincerely. You know that. So when you say, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, that means all the hurt and pain washed by the blood of Christ, it's okay. When you remember that person, even your worst enemy, No bitterness, only joy. You remember that person, Lord, that person persecuted me, sabotaged me, slapped me, forced me to go 1 mile, and I went 2 miles. And you did it happily. Lord, may my testimony be used by thee to save so and so from sin. Thank God for the opportunity to suffer for Jesus' sake. Thank God for helping me to restrain and to hold my tongue. Thank God for helping me to be long-suffering and to be patient. Thank God. Sincerely. You know what kind of heart, what kind of soul, what kind of joy, what kind of peace you have? When you remember others with a thankful spirit, all the weaknesses, the shortcomings of the people are washed by the blood of Christ. It's okay. You know how wonderful a blessing you will be to brothers and sisters in Christ with that kind of heart, with that kind of spirit? Because you understand that we are all work in progress. And the world doesn't understand. And the Word of God is what God will use to help us improve and become more and more like Christ. And all of us need time to improve and become more and more like Christ so that we can sin less and less. But in the meantime, every time you relate to people, there will be misunderstanding, there will be pain, there will be hurt. And one of the things that I try my best to resist in my own life is this kind of experiences. You keep close to some people, and some people that you keep close to, you share your heart, you share your life, you share your burdens, and they share theirs in return. I think you thought you were close. And so after 10, 15, 20 years, everything seemed to be close. Until one incident, one painful incident, whether it involves them or their children. And then all the years, all the so-called closeness evaporated. Gone. And then harsh words started to surface. Angry words. Hurtful words. And then you thought we were close. And then with all these painful, hurtful words, you're going to bite your tongue and stop retaliating. And then after all these painful, hurtful words have been spoken, shared with quite a number of the people, they leave the church. We are human beings. I'm a human being too. And as a pastor, we also need friends like everyone else. But sometimes it's very hard to be friends with your own church members, isn't it? Because they will always see you as a pastor rather than just a friend. So we do not have that privilege. Like, you can just be a friend to one another. I can't. And so now I've become very wary in sharing my life with church members because of these painful experiences. And because of my wariness in sharing my life now with people, fearful, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to feel the pain like everybody else. Then when I look back and I remember, I try to remember as much as possible, not much to remember because I now withdraw myself from people. See the problem? So I understand why some of you are struggling. I'm struggling too. Because how to remember when you don't have anything to remember, right? In order to have something to remember, it has to be shared. It has to be shared experiences, shared life. And that cannot happen if I live like a recluse, if I keep withdrawing myself from people because I just don't want to get hurt. But hurt is all part and parcel of remembering, isn't it? That's why the Apostle Paul says, I give thanks. That the moment you give thanks for this person or that person, you know that your heart is one of forgiveness. Your heart is one that is filled with God's love. That no matter how people may hurt you, you still want to desire the best for them. That's why you remember them before God's throne of grace in prayer and asking God to help them. Those who hurt you, pray that the Lord will help them to see the truth and to replace their hurt and their sinful ways with repentance. Remember with thanksgiving. Help us to protect our heart and our soul from bitterness and sin and anger. Censorious judgment. Because these are the transgressions that will rob us of peace, enabling us to lose our holy witness, resulting in sleepless nights. Because your mind is still running, your mind is still trying to justify yourself when your body is so exhausted, but your mind is still so active, you can't sleep. You can't sleep. You're all troubled. That's why you can't say like the Apostle Paul, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, truly, every remembrance of you, in order for him to accomplish that before God's throne of grace in prayer, making requests with joy, happy, because he was able to count the blessing. He was able to see the privilege and the blessings that God has given to him in the lives and relationship with the people in the church in Philippi and in our context in Truth BP Church. All of you. The memories because of the shared life that you have with one another. Remember them before God's throne of grace. And this will help you to be thankful, to be grateful, to cherish each other more, and be able to forgive, and whatever hurt or pain, restore the relationship. Do whatever it takes. Apologize, apologize. Do whatever it takes. Value each other. That's what it means. Value each other. Look at one another. You are brought together by God in Christ, despite all our very varied and different backgrounds. God says, in Christ Jesus, what kind of background you have, it doesn't matter. In Christ Jesus, you can cover a multitude of sin because of the love of God that has been shed abroad in your heart, so that you can say like the Apostle Paul, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you in my prayers, and I do so with joy. Sincerely. But first you have to know yourself. You have to remember who you are, what you were and what you are, slave of Jesus Christ, in order for this to be the next step. Because once you see yourself as some big shot, as some very important person, that's not going to happen. Because you want your right, you want your pound of flesh, you want vengeance. You don't seek forgiveness. And then if you are able to follow step one and step two, then step three will be your conclusion. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You see that? You will continue to enjoy the fellowship. You will not let anything to sever it. You will do whatever it takes to maintain it all the days of your life, so that you will spend your time on earth as a stranger and sojourner together with these brothers and sisters in Christ that God has brought into your life. And you will not allow anyone or anything, as long as the church remains faithful and true, as long as the leaders are godly, this will be your home away from home until the Lord returns. And you will do whatever it takes to contribute to maintain this blessed happiness and joy and truthfulness that is found in this church. You and I know that we are all people with links and relationships. Person A and person B will have his group of friends, respectively. And person A and person B cannot get along. We don't keep silent. We tell our group of friends. And then our group of friends, if they are truly spiritual, they will admonish you and stop you and ask you, urge you, compel you, stop spreading. Go to the person and make up. But many of us do not do that. We entertain. And because we entertain, that person continues. And then to make it matters worse, we add salt to it, to balloon it even more. And then it spread. And when it started with just simply two persons at odds, now it is two groups of people in this church who are now at odds. And the longer it delays, the worse it gets, because it's spread. And before you know it, half the congregation with B, half the congregation with A. And the longer it continues, the farther they go apart. Because now they have really told so many people, pride stands in the way. To reconcile means you've got to admit that what you have done is wrong and sinful, but now half the church already knows. Half the church took your side. You see the problem? All you need to do from the very onset is to see yourself as a slave of Christ. And therefore, if you are ill-treated in your opinion, it should be okay. Because you're a slave. But they betray me. Slaves get betrayed all the time for Jesus' sake. Would you not also accept that? Would you accept that? Raising our voices. Betrayals. We are not condoning all this. Right? These people who raise their voices cannot control their temper. They have to deal with these problems. And we are talking about you who may be the recipient of all these so-called unjust treatment. In order for you to remember one another in a way that is pleasing to God, that is also helpful to your own spiritual life. Because when you do not know how to relate with people well, you are going to be like a recluse and withdraw yourself into a shell, whereby you will have nothing to remember and people will have nothing to remember you as well. Or you continue to share your life with people, but you share your life in a manner that is God-honoring and a blessing to others. This is how Paul shared with us how he did it. Because it is always a spiritual remembrance, fellowship that is true and sincere and genuine that only Christians can experience. The world cannot. This is a fellowship that is intimate. This is a fellowship that is special because it is in the gospel. You accept the Christ, I accept the Christ. You are baptized, I'm baptized by the same Lord Jesus Christ, who baptized us with the same Holy Spirit. One Lord, one God, one faith, one baptism. That's why our fellowship is spiritual, because it's in the same Jesus that saved you, he saved me. Same Jesus that saved him, saved her. Same in Christ, in salvation. That's why this fellowship is not designed by our common race, our common Singaporean identity, our common educational background. None of these things, but the Lord Jesus himself. That's why this fellowship is eternal, because it is in Christ. And if you do not see that it's eternal, you're going to sell it short and just break it apart and leave the church. How many churches can you leave? Because everywhere you go, you're going to end up the same way. Because every church, they're going to have people, and people are not perfect. And the more you fellowship with them, the chances of you hurting one another will increase exponentially. You know that. And only in Christ can you overcome all these painful experiences and then turn them around into blessed experiences, because you are a slave in Christ and you remember one another before God's throne of grace and mercy in prayer with thanksgiving. That means forgiving spirit. And you know that this is a spiritual battle, because your fellowship with one another in Christ is eternal, and the devil will love to destroy it, because that has always been his agenda. That's why when someone were to tell you about another person that has nothing to do with you, that person is now sowing seeds of discord, which God hates, according to the book of Proverbs in chapter 6, and you are doing the work of the devil. And so you have to stop that person, admonish that person. How to remember one another depends on you. Depends on how you share your life, or lack of it. And how you share your life in the right way. Or else you're going to remember one another with bitterness and anger. And that was not Paul's experience. He remembered them fondly. He remembered them. Are they perfect? No, they're just like us. Paul was not perfect. The people, the Christians in the church in Philippi were not perfect. So Paul had to teach them how to remember one another, just as he wants us to remember one another in a way that will protect and help us grow together as a church in unity, in love, in fellowship that is sweet, genuine, and sincere. Because it is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone wrote in our Q&A, how can we have fellowship with one another when some are professing believers and some are not even believers? When Paul wrote all this, who did he write to? To a local church in the city of Philippi. And you and I know that every local church, the bigger it is always a mixture of believers, truly born again, and professing believers and unbelievers. It's always like that. And yet he wrote the same way, just as how you and I are reading it the same way, to a mixture of these three. To the believer, he will be encouraged because he understands that he can obey God's word. To the professing believer, he will see into his own life how I need to stop being a hypocrite and become not only a professing believer, but a genuine believer. And to an unbeliever, when he reads things like this, it will lead him to Christ. And therefore, when that happens, are we not one? Isn't that the ministry that God has given to us? When people come to church, it will always be a mixture of these three groups of people. The question is, which group do you belong to? Which group do you belong to? Professing unbeliever? Or sorry, professing believer? Not truly a believer? Or are you truly born again? If you're truly born again, follow Paul as Paul followed the Lord in remembering one another. Let us pray. Almighty God, our most merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us not to shy away from fellowship and from relating and sharing our lives with one another in Christ because of past painful experiences. But through it all, help us to cherish one another in Christ Jesus, for we truly, who are in Christ, belong to the eternal family of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. From the moment we accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, we belong to this eternal family forever and ever. Help us, therefore, to share our lives with one another so that we can have fond memories of one another as the Lord tarries. Help us to do so, O Lord, by first remembering who we are in Christ and how we need to remember one another before thy throne of grace and mercies in prayer with a thankful heart. For we know that our remembrance is dependent upon our fellowship with one another, which is a spiritual fellowship because it is in the common gospel that all of us have received and believed in. May thou protect everyone in Truth BB Church. Keep them always close to one another in Christ. And for Jesus' sake, may all of them remember one another fondly as servants of Christ before thy throne of grace and mercies and through the spiritual fellowship that they enjoy with one another in Christ Jesus. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, and sanctify thy people by thy truth, for thy word is truth. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.